الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وعلى أصحابه الأصفياء. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس، إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا، إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، إن الله خبير. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى is the one who created us and everything which we see around us. And inevitably, the human being have to relate and interact with the things around him, such as even environment, people, and also even animals. And also he has to relate to matters of his well-being in the life hereafter, akhirah, and in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal, and also with angels who are also living entities with us, also with the jinnat. So there are so many categories, so many other creations that the human being have to relate and have to interact and have to deal with. Now this is not within the capacity of human being as such, that he may know without the help of Allah Azza wa Jal to know and understand the nature of this relationship, as to so that he always benefits himself and others and abstains from the harm from himself and to others as well in that relationship, in that dealing. Because that requires absolute knowledge of the human nature, human psychology, and also of other people, and also of different times and places. And this is not within the capacity of human being. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal provides this knowledge through wahy, and that started with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and ended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So you can use your own mind, but you will be going towards destruction. If not immediately, then later on. But if you will use the knowledge imparted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wahi and revelation, because that knowledge is free from any forgetfulness, any misunderstanding, any confusion, any deficiency, or any other matter, or any pressure, any fear, any greed or incentive, because nor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded anything from people by He sending revelation, nor Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam demanded anything from the people, any ajr, any money from the people, nor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he demanded anything from the people. Other than he said, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. That he said his ajr is that those people who listening to his message, they come on the path of the Lord, path to Allah. They find the purpose of life and they are fulfilling that. That is the ajr. Rasulullah ﷺ says, that is my ajr. As though it is not really ajr of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that is his love for his ummah. As a mother or father says, for example, if the son or daughter eats, it's as though they have eaten it. If you eat, as though I have eaten it, that is my reward. If you eat, that's my reward. So this is also spiritual food, what the Quran and the Revelation provided, the spiritual food. And if the people, the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, benefits from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his love and affection and mercy for the Ummah, considers it that is my reward. In other words, my Ummah, if you go to Jannah, that is my reward. So that is an extreme token of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he provided guidelines upon these matters. And last week we were discussing specifically about the nature of relationship between specifically non-mahram men and women. And we mentioned some of the things to do with looking, that where looking is unlawful, where looking is lawful, where it is disliked, where it is permitted, where it is rewardable, because you will be saved from the harms of that relationship. So it is a mercy. Rasulullah is a mercy for the universe, mercy for all worlds. So whatever he says contains mercy for us. So one should never consider or be in the mindset from the commands of the Sharia to consider any burden upon him. It is not, you are the only beneficiary from it, not anyone else. But Shaitan makes you forgetful and you think like the law of the land or some other person makes rules, and he makes you follow that rules for his own benefit. If the king in his kingdom, the politician for his own benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal is free from all these things actually. He does not consider any incentive, any benefit from the creation by they following the commands and rules of Sharia, but only the beneficiary is the human being. So why he should consider, oh, I am doing great favor to na'uz billah, to deen or Allah, or to people, in other words, that I am being pious, I am following, I am muttaqi, people should praise me. You are doing favor to yourself. It's like you eat and exercise for yourself. What favor is this to other people? But when you come into the deen, practice the sunnah, practice the sharia, people tend to expect praise and appreciation from other people. For what? You are doing something for yourself. Man amila salihan fali nafsi. not to the benefit of Allah, not for the benefit of creation, but inevitably it is yourself who are benefiting. So you should be thankful and appreciative, rather than thinking that you need appreciation and you expecting thankfulness and praise of others. Today we are just going to mention few masail on the getting together of women and men and their in khalwa and otherwise as well. Remember, general rule which we discussed was the getting together of non-mahram men and women, or men or women, one man or women. There are basically five rules they should consider, and they are actually categorical. There is no major ikhtilaf about them. They should be observed, which we covered last time as well. For one of it, we'll go in little bit of detail. When you are getting together with non-mahram, meaning those females which you can be married with, your nikah can be performed legally with them. There are, be them relatives, like for example in-laws, sister-in-laws, or cousins, sisters, or neighbors, or students, or muridas, female students, whoever it is, the rules apply equally to the normal person and also to the ulama and to the peers and everyone. No one is exempt from it. As because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself observed and practiced and preached these, how can anyone else claim to be in a position? It was customary in the Arab culture, for example, last time we covered where you cannot look, which parts you cannot look of a woman, and if she is the mahram or she is not mahram, what is the ruling? And the ruling is that you also cannot touch those parts which you cannot look at. This is should be known, that you cannot touch as well. And this matter only comes into discussion in two aspects of it. One is the Arab culture in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that women would shake hands with men, and it was culture that they were, if they paid allegiance, a bay'ah, commitment, and like the men would actually give allegiance and ahd by holding hand, the women would do so as well. So this is not a new knowledge, that it is just a hukum came or is such ikhtilaf in there, but it was already a customary, a cultural practice which was going on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when hands were extended to him, he said, "Inni la usafihu nisa," that I do not touch, I do not shake hands with women. When women had extended their hands for bay'ah, for allegiance, he alayhi salatu wasalam turned them down, meaning he said he just took it verbally. So the true method is just you can verbally accept the bay'ah of women, or they can hold a chadar, or actually any other thing as a physical contact, but directly you are not allowed, nor you are allowed to touch their heads. This is for elderly people, like uncles and others who think were not mahrams, because many uncles are not mahram, like for example someone is married to the sister of your father, so he cannot be he's not your mahram. So men, they of na mahram, be it they are saintly people or actually, they shouldn't be touching bare-headed women on their head to give blessings or to do dam or anything like this. That is also prohibited. But shaking hands, especially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this was situation was there in his lifetime. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, "I don't shake hands with women," and he didn't. And here alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the hadith that which comes to the meaning that it is better for a man to have, rather accidentally, in one hadith mentioned, accidentally, even if he touches his shoulder, his hand, touches women passing, he says, well, better than actually coal, a red hot coal actually touching his body. It is more harmful than this, because actually this is, the coal is from this world, and what that can ignite and spark is actually punishment in the hellfire for a long time, because that can lead to zina and all other things. And here alayhi salatu wasalam also said that the zina, adultery of the hand, is touching the namahram. So a person should not actually shake hands with actually any namahram women. There is no, even you don't have desire, even you don't have shahwa, even you don't actually, like I said, if you don't have shahwa and desire and you've looked at namahram, there's flexibility there. But in touching, you have desire or not, it is not allowed. Secondly, also this comes in situations where people are in work situation here, especially in European Western cultures as well, and some Eastern as well, that you go into a meeting, you go to somewhere, and the women, because they don't know, the non-Muslim women, they don't know that actually the hand musafa is allowed or not. So they, as a courtesy, they might do. But there a person should be wise enough. Firstly, if the person is normally restrained, now from there he should restrain. And you can compensate is that with good character. If you are of a good character, meaning actually you the situation, you are meeting people and talking nicely to them with respect and dignity, and some other things which you can do, so that you don't look that you are offending people, but you are rather respecting people. Because many cultural differences have, in one culture it is a sign of respect, in the other it is a sign of disrespect. But it will still be disallowed. You should explain to them beforehand, if you are going on a meeting, that this is the case. So one should avoid. So I was mentioning the five important rules of interacting of men and women. Number one, khalwa. Khalwa should not be there. Khalwa means when you are alone, seclusion. It has three things. If they are there, then that constitutes khalwa. Remember, three things, three conditions, three sharoot of khalwa: a cousin, sister, and you; a non-mahram lady and you; and other non-mahrams as well. What is khalwa? Which is disallowed. Rasulullah said, none of you, the two non-mahrams, are together, and the third is shaitan there then. And here alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited that no man should visit a woman without her mahram or husband being present. Here alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited it categorically. So what constitutes khalwa? Three things, three conditions are there, then actually it becomes khalwa. One is that the place is enclosed. Place is a closed thing, actually. The doors are closed, it's an enclosed place, a room, Second, there is no third party there. There is no third party there. One is the space is enclosed, and second, there is no one third there. Obviously, Shaitan's presence does not make any difference. He is present. But by third party, we mean that either there is the mahram of that lady, her brother, father, son with her, or there's at least another lady with her. You see the practice of awliya and sulaha. They perform utmost cautious sometimes. They don't, for example, but fiqh matter, you should know that they're, what is the law and what is the rule. So if there is one man, two women, this is no khalwa. They can meet, they can talk, they can actually consult. But if there is two men, two males and one female, that's still considered khalwa. It is still considered khalwa, so they shouldn't actually meet. There is a certain karaha, dislikeness in there. So if there are three women, good and well, for example, they can actually, that will not be a khalwa. So that is the case actually, that no third party, if these two, they are not more than one woman, there is no mahram of the women, there is no mahram of the men, another lady for example, this is second condition. And third, if there is no immediate likelihood of someone entering that place. For example, you are in a place where there is restriction. The place is open, the door is open, but there is no one will come in without your permission. It's a private thing. Then actually, so these three things, if they are present, then that constitutes khalwa. It's an enclosed space. There is no third party, as I said, there is no mahram, or actually there are not more than one woman, and no immediately likelihood of someone entering. If that is the case, then it is. So, in house, for example, in one family, there are many extended family living. Your sister-in-law, two brothers, their wives are living. Now they go to work and things happen. What will, when they will be alone in the home, will that be khalwa? No, it will not be khalwa if he is with his sister-in-law in one home, unless they are in one room. Unless actually they are both sitting in kitchen and eating alone, or actually sitting in the bedroom watching TV, or actually sitting in sitting room, you know, doing something. Then actually it will. But if there is one house and extended family lives there, so if the other members are not at home, if they stay in separate room, that na-mahram lady and the na-mahram actually man, like a brother-in-law and sister-in-law, then actually it is allowed to stay in one house, but not to be in this room. This is in order actually for the relatives. So I summarize again actually that gender interaction, people interacting with men and women, na-mahrams, that there are five general rules you should observe, which I mentioned, that there shouldn't be khalwa, seclusion. This is to protect your honor, protect the honor of your wife, protect the honor of your sister, of your daughter and mother. It is not actually burden, nor you should consider burden. It is to protect your honor, that you observe khalwa yourself to protect your deen and the honor and the deen of others. Second is, if cousins are sitting there, condition is that those sisters shouldn't be wearing perfume. It is not allowed for sisters, females, to wear perfume and pass the, you may say, interact with men or sit with men. So second, if it's on a family matter, you're sitting together, two, three cousins, and some of them are females. Second condition will be that they shouldn't be wearing perfume at all. If that is, then they shouldn't. The interaction is disallowed, actually. Third, as we mentioned, the gazes. Guard your gazes. Especially with lust. Mostly keep it down. Guard your gazes. And fourth, if people are sitting together as family or na-mahrams are sitting, the aura, the satar, meaning the nakedness of should be covered, and nakedness and aura of women is everything except hands and face. So hands and face are covered, they are not covered, otherwise then is actually fine. And fifth one, they shouldn't be socializing and joking and interacting freely and with loose talk. So these five things actually are observed normally, the rules from which ulama and fuqaha has derived from actually the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran, and the one which I just mentioned in detail about khalwa, you should keep in mind, and with also about the gazes which we mentioned last time. And if you do follow these, you will not get into problem. Sisters will not get into trouble. Their honor, their deen, and your deen, everything will be protected, because there is great wisdom behind these commands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me and you to understand. Please perform your sunnah. Sunnati ata farma. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك